seemed as though an invasion of France might be edging onto the War Office agenda, and as a result, there were lots of soldiers, and more importantly, officers, milling about all over London. Louise wasn't particularly knowledgeable about the progress of the war, but she knew an officer when she saw one, and she didn't want to miss her chance if one of them happened to be on the lookout for a wife. To that end, she had decided not only to be nicer, but to revert to her maiden name. Men weren't interested in grumpy widows, or if they were, as an unlucky relationship with a sweet-talking cad last year had taught her, it was only for one thing.
"Don't forget to let the chickens out," her mother called from the landing. "And do hurry up, Louise. Daddy's getting impatient. He needs to get off to work."
Louise delicately applied a frugal smear of Pond's cream to her face.
"So do I," she said.
She glanced at the clock on her bedside table. She'd got into trouble earlier in the week for cutting it too fine. Being late was a dismissible offence. Mr. Gregg had let her off that time with a warning. He knew she was one of his best machine tool operatives, but she couldn't afford another misdemeanour. "Why can't stupid Daddy get his own breakfast?" she thought crossly. But her father, Greville Rutherford, wasn't that kind of man. As well as being the owner of the local brewery, he was also the commander of the Clapham Home Guard Battalion and a church warden. All in all, he was a pillar of the community, and pillars of the community apparently saw it as their God-given right to be served and obeyed by their womenfolk. Giving her face a quick dusting of Max Factor face powder, also recommended by Vogue for a healthy, finished look, Louise stood up and surveyed herself in the long mirror on the wardrobe door. She smiled and preened slightly, pleased with her new hairstyle. The demure curls complemented her pale, clear skin and her nicely proportioned features. She looked gratifyingly pretty and fashionable in a discreet, patriotic way, although she suspected that her new slimline slacks would not go down well with her father. Even now, at this stage of the war, he disapproved of women wearing trousers. But it was icy cold outside, and Louise was conserving her last two pairs of nylons for a special occasion. She was damned if she was going to walk all the way down to Gregg Brothers with bare legs. Part 1 Chapter 1 Louise knew her father well. His eyes did indeed bulge alarmingly when she came into the breakfast room wearing her new figure-hugging corduroys. He himself was looking very correct in his well-pressed Home Guard uniform, his carefully polished major's crowns gleaming on his epaulettes.
"Goodness me, Louise," he expostulated. "What do you think you look like?"
"Oh, Daddy, really," Louise said. "Lots of girls wear trousers nowadays."
"Not girls of our class."
"It's nothing to do with class," Louise insisted. "It's to do with warmth and practicality. There is a war on, you know."
"Don't be facetious," he said, taking his place at the head of the table.
Louise quailed. Her father might be out of date, but it was dangerous to annoy him.
"I'm not being facetious," she said. "Those frumpy auxiliary territorial service girls who manage the barrage balloons up on the common all wear trousers, and some of them are perfectly posh."
He snorted, and Louise realised her mistake. Her father didn't approve of women in the armed forces, posh or not. According to him, they caused discipline problems. And to be fair, some of the current jokes bore him out. "Up with the lark, to bed with a wren," was one that was doing the rounds at the moment. But knowing that wasn't the kind of thing her father would find at all funny, Louise refrained from mentioning it, and instead withdrew to the kitchen to dish up his porridge. There was no sign of any eggs, and she certainly didn't have time to go grubbing around in her mother's henhouse looking for some. Instead, she cut two meagre slices of bread and laid them under the grill, then carried the porridge bowls through to the breakfast room. In the good old pre-war days, the Rutherfords had had a cook and a maid, but such luxuries were hard to come by nowadays, and when Jack had died and Louise had been forced to move back in, her mother had made it very clear that she expected her to do her fair share of the household tasks. Considerably more than her fair share, as it turned out, since her mother spent all her time at the cafe that she ran with Mrs. Carter down at the other end of Lavender Road, or endlessly beavering about with the stupid old WV.